Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it's all about. How amazing to wake up and think about your day. Not your diet. So I'm a little bit late today because the traffic in LA is horrible due to the fires, and my heart just goes out to everyone who's displaced. I was evacuated last year for 4 days, and that was pretty horrendous. Thankfully, our house was intact, but I really know what it's like to be displaced from your house and to be worried. So again, my heart goes out to everyone who's dealing with the fires right now. So, if you would like to join me today, the number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or compulsive eating is not, it is not food. It is what's eating at you, and that's what we want to get to today. Okay, so tomorrow is Halloween. Yay for Halloween. And here are some thoughts of mine for Halloween. If the scariest part of Halloween for you is candy, then you definitely want to listen to this. Okay, so I remember when I was struggling myself with food, I remember I used to buy all the candy I didn't like candy corn, ew. If it didn't involve chocolate, I didn't get it. Skittles, candy corn, all the stuff I didn't like, I would get so I would not be tempted. And I wanted to give you a Halloween treat that is 100% guilt-free and calorie-free. And so here are my tips for how to get through Halloween. So first tip, afraid of the dark. The scariest thoughts are the dark ideas you have about yourself. Keep out thoughts like, I suck, or I'm too fat, or stupid, or ugly, or who would love me? These thoughts just make you feel terrible about yourself, and that is truly frightening. And here's the thing, when you feel terrible about yourself and you're attacking yourself all the time, that is not, that cannot coexist with being supportive and loving towards yourself. So it's really important to cultivate a really healthy, kind, beautiful relationship to yourself, so that when you feel down because or upset because life happens and sometimes we feel bad, that you can encourage yourself and support yourself and be kind to yourself instead of denigrating yourself and attacking yourself. So many people, when they feel bad, what they really need is comfort. Oh, I'm going to hold that thought because Nicole is calling. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dr. Nina.
Good morning, Nicole. What's going on?
Happy almost Halloween.
Happy almost Halloween.
I know you're giving tips about Halloween and how to kind of get through it. And my question today is kind of related to Halloween. Well, it is related to Halloween. So I work in an office and, you know, they put a bowl of candy. And the bowl of candy has been there since last week. So we know they started Halloween early, and every day they refill this bowl. And it's been fine. Can you hear me, by the way?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. So it's been fine, to be honest. I don't really feel a temptation to go in the bowl that often because it's kind of like I'm allowing myself to have it if I want it. So I'm not, like, going crazy. So I think that it's already progress because I remember when I was working at that CPA firm, we had chocolate every day, not just on Halloween. And whenever I would feel like stressed, I would take maybe 10 chocolates and then do the whole like chewing and spitting thing. And it was really gross. And I have not done that in a really long time. So I already feel progress. But
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and
wait, hold that thought.
Right, go ahead.
Hold that thought because I just want to say two things. One is that is wonderful. I want to support your progress and give you a little applause. Yes.
Yay.
You deserve a little applause. And secondly, you said something important in passing that I want to really kind of punctuate or underscore, which is that you said because you are allowing yourself to have it, you don't have it. That the anticipation of deprivation or the experience of deprivation always makes you want that thing more. But when you say, hey, I can have it and truly, truly believe it, because I think it took you some time to believe yourself when you said you could have it, then you can decide if you want it or not and how much to have of it. So that's a very, very important point that you just illustrated, unbeknownst to you, with your call. So I just want to acknowledge that and really underscore, underline that point.
Yeah, thank you. You can't see my face right now, but I'm smiling really, really, really big because, one, I think I'm noticing my own progress, and two, you're spot on with, you know, you told me for the long, like, what I call it and tell you, like, the peanut butter thing, and you're like, allow yourself to have it every day, and it really did take me a while to believe that I can have it every single day, and I think that I thought that I was believing it, but I really wasn't believing it, and it took me a few months, to be honest, to get there. So I'm smiling really, really big, Dr. Nina.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Yay!
I guess my question comes into, last week the bowl was there, and I allowed myself to have a Hershey's, and I allowed myself to eat a Reese's, and I ate it slowly, and I enjoyed it, and I know that I feel like it was about to be that time of month, so I was just craving chocolate, and whatever, I had two pieces, it was fine, and then the next day, I took a Hershey's and a Snickers, and I didn't really feel like eating it in that moment, so I just put it in my purse, and I was like, I'll eat it when I feel like eating it, and I don't know if you remember, but that time that I ran into you at that event, and the chocolate, someone gave me that piece of chocolate, and I gave it to you. I'm like, take it. I don't want to eat it. And then you put it in my purse, and you're like, you're allowed to eat it. Eat it if you want it. So I just put the Hershey's and the Snickers in my bag, and I was like, I'll just eat it when I want it. And so I put it in my bag, and then I came home, and I put it in my nightstand. And then I ended up eating the Snickers one night before bed. It was just one of those, like, fun-sized ones, so I think it's, like, 80 calories. So I ate the Snickers one night before bed, and then I ate the Hershey's one night before bed. I didn't feel guilty about it. Well, a little bit. I was like, why did I eat that right before bed? But I still feel like it's progress.
It is huge progress, and I'd like you to ask that question with curiosity, not criticism, because you can say, why did I eat that right before bed? Or you can say, why did I eat that right before bed? Was something bothering me? Or did I just feel like having something sweet and there's nothing emotional going on? I mean, like, be curious about it rather than, uh-oh, I've broken a rule. Why? There is no rule that says you cannot eat something right before bed. There's no rule.
Yeah.
It might not be a good idea to do it every day, but there's no rule that says this is bad, don't do it.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes when you are breaking rules that you have created or that were created for you and that you took as truths, as realities, but they're not. They're just ideas that you can either challenge or accept.
Yeah. And I'm going to hold on to your word that there are no rules. And just like there are no rules and I'm not breaking rules. And if I do something where I feel like, oh, maybe I'm breaking a rule, just to be curious about it and ask myself, why did I eat that chocolate? Not like punish myself and, oh, my God, you ate that Snickers.
Right.
Nicole, you're so bad.
Notice.
You're going to sleep on the sugar.
Notice something interesting just happened. You switched from I'm going to let myself have it to I'm not going to be like, you shouldn't have had it. Nicole, you should. So you talked about yourself in the second person and the third person while you were beating yourself up. in, I mean, while you were practicing beating yourself up, but when you were in the first person, you were nice to yourself. So important to pay attention to that.
Okay. I will. And then I think that's it. I mean, I don't want to go into, I was going to say, I think I know where the rules came from. I think that, you know, I started seeing a nutritionist when I was 16 years old. And she had, first she did like a, she did a whole week meal plan for me. So what to eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks, for 7 days, like menus, and to follow that. And then she gave me a list of all the good foods to eat and then all the bad foods. Like, do not eat these foods, and you should eat these foods or these. And then she gave me a list of fruits and vegetables that are like low glycemic and I should eat. So I think that's where my quote unquote rules come from.
Right. And I just have something to say about this. This is so important. You could be a nutritionist. I could be a nutritionist. My dog Zane could be a nutritionist. Slight exaggeration. Anybody can call themselves a nutritionist. And that's why you have all of these trainers and people at the gym. By the way, I hear something loud.
I can't hear you. Dr. Nina, I hear
a lot of noise in the background. Okay, now it's gone.
I can hear you now. You were saying everybody could be a nutritionist.
Everyone could.
And
even Zane, my dog, a slight exaggeration. And that's why you see all these people who are trainers giving calling themselves nutritionists. The only people that you should take nutritional advice from is not a nutritionist. It is a dietitian. Dietitians have either often master's degrees, but sometimes just, you know, they have college degrees.
She is a registered dietitian.
Okay, well, that's good. But then the next thing I was going to say is, and you should, people who struggle with emotional issues with food should see someone who specializes in intuitive eating. Intuitive eating. Because if you're, a dietitian is going to do exactly what this dietitian did, which is also not great, but that's what a lot of dietitians do. But a dietitian who also is specialized in intuitive eating will help you. There are no good foods or bad foods. Will help you intuit what your body needs, what you need, what's going on with you in a much better way. Otherwise, you have these rules that are then perpetuated by your mom, you know, with the, I should be under the ground if I ate sugar. So, So it's time to challenge these rules. These are ideas. Yeah. They are not realities. You can have a banana, and some chocolate and whatever the heck you want.
Just listen to what my body wants. And I think that I'm trying to be more intuitive. And like, whenever I feel hungry, I'm like, Nicole, what do you feel like eating? Do you want something warm? Do you want a cold salad? Do you want a warm soup? What do you want? Do you want protein? Do you want fat? What do you feel like? You're helping me to be more in touch with my intuition and what my body needs in that moment when I do feel hungry. So thank you.
You are very welcome. And practice also, instead of the what do you want, what do I want? Because even though you're being nice to yourself in that moment, what do you want? What do you want? It's still like a distance thing when you talk to yourself from a second person place. And if you're asking yourself, what do you want? Versus, what do I want? What does my body want right now? What's my body feeling? Like, you're more in your body, if that makes sense, and you're more able to access what it is that is needed. So I would just also really watch the I versus you, or the third person, Nicole.
I'm going to focus on that today. What do I want? Not Nicole, what do you want?
Exactly.
What do I want? What do I feel like eating today? Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes. And I'm really proud of you.
I will.
Thank you.
I'm proud of me too.
Oh, wait. You just need another one of these. Just another. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you deserve double applause today. Double applause. Okay. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow. You know, that is just so significant. For those of you who listen to the show a lot, you've heard Nicole for a while, like at least a year. and see her journey from going to, oh my God, I ate peanut butter and I feel terrible about myself and now I'm going to binge, to what you just heard. So I just want to use that moment to say, look, there is hope. No matter how entrenched you are in some ideas that you may have about yourself, about food, about weight, about body image, about whatever it is that you are struggling with, there is hope. You can change. You can change. So, Nicole, thank you for being such a beautiful representation of change. That is awesome. So, okay, I was going through my Halloween treats, my tips for Halloween. So number one was afraid of the dark. Be careful about the dark thoughts you have about yourself, because that just keeps you in a place of feeling bad about yourself, which then makes you use food to feel better or to escape or to numb. And there the cycle continues. So no dark thoughts about you. Number two, got ghosts? If the ghosts of the past are haunting you, it's time to deal with them. If you had a critical parent, a critical teacher, a critical sibling, or grandparents, and you find yourself being equally critical to yourself these days, then that critical voice belongs to others, not to you. You have internalized some way of relating to yourself that was, you know, from someone else to you, and now is from you to you. So it's important to find your authentic voice and to view yourself as you are, not as others treated you. So if you find yourself being critical, being mean, being picking on yourself, ask yourself, where does this come from? Curiosity, not criticism. Where does this come from? Is this voice familiar? And there are two reasons that people develop a critical voice, by the way. Reason number one is that people are critical to them. So someone's always harping on you and criticizing you and judging you and picking on you, and you could do this better and you could do that better, and why did you do that, and why, you know that critical voice. You do not need me to, you know, give you an example. I am sure you know what the critical voice sounds like. If you hear it, and then what was annoying to you when it was being told to you somehow becomes the way you talk to yourself. It's called internalization or introjection. Two different things, slightly different. I won't go into it. Anyway, so you internalize the voice that was said to you. That's the first way that you internalize a critical or judgmental voice. The second way that people create a critical voice is when they don't have enough boundaries as kids, when no one is really saying much of anything and they're just sort of left to their own devices. You know, I've had many, many patients and clients in my, you know, online program who've talked about having parents who were just so, I guess they wanted to be cool or they didn't care or I don't know, it was always different, but the kids would be like 14 years old and coming home at 1 a.m. and their parents would be like, did you have fun? Or they'd be asleep. They wouldn't even know. There were no rules. There were no boundaries. Boundaries, kids rail against boundaries, but boundaries makes people feel safe. And if you don't have boundaries from the outside, you're going to create your own hyper intense boundaries. So, you know, if no one is saying, no, don't do that, this is the boundary, kids create it themselves and they make it really harsh, 10 times as harsh as any parent would probably be, any, you know, normal kind of parent. So really be aware of where this self-critical or self-judgmental or whatever mean voice that you are struggling with, where did it come from? Does it sound like someone you know or knew? And if so, label it that. And that way, the next time you start talking to yourself that way, you can say, you know, la, 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 nope, I'm not going, I'm not listening to you. I'm not dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, aunt, sibling, whatever. Nope, I hear you and I'm not listening. That's you, that's not me. And then you know what you do? You ask yourself what you would say to a friend in the same situation. What would you say if a friend was going through the thing that you're criticizing yourself about? What would you say to your friend? And I'm going to take a guess and say that whatever you would say to your friend is not what you would say to yourself. So be the friend that you are to other people to yourself. I'm going to say that again because it is so important. Be the friend that you are to others, to yourself. And that way, you will support yourself, you will encourage yourself, you will be compassionate to yourself, and when you do that, you feel good. And when you feel good, guess what? Candy is just candy and not an escape valve from your own mean voice. Okay, number three, give yourself a treat. If you find yourself saying, I'm going to be good this Halloween, I'm not going to eat a single piece of candy. Or, I was so bad because I ate that pumpkin cheesecake. Oh my God. Then you are connecting your character to what you eat. Allow yourself to eat candy or pumpkin cheesecake or whatever without feeling guilty. Goes back to what Nicole and I were talking about just a little bit ago. Allow yourself to have it. Deprivation or the anticipation of deprivation always leads to overeating. Always, always, always. It might, you know, for some people, they might say, no, it doesn't. I can starve myself for years. And then inevitably, it does. Because most, not all, but many people I know who have struggled with, for example, anorexia, have at some point been, okay, I'm really freaking hungry and I'm tired of depriving myself, and they might overdo it. Not everybody, but a lot of people. Deprivation or anticipation of deprivation leads to overeating or binge eating. If you are telling yourself you can't have something, psychology says you want the thing you can't have, right? You want the thing you cannot have. And that leads to you wanting some of it, having some of it. And then if you're telling yourself you're not supposed to have it, but you had some of it, you might as well have a lot of it now. And there you go, off to the binging races. If you give yourself permission to have candy, you may actually eat less. And this is where I want to share my Halloween stories of my kids. So I have an older daughter and a younger daughter. When my older daughter was about 8, she had a friend whose parents were kind of like the candy police, and they would tell her, okay, her name's Lisa, and they'd say, okay, Lisa, you can have one or two pieces of candy at the most on Halloween, and then you will give your Halloween candy to us, and we will confiscate it, and we will go through it, and then we will give you one piece per day until the candy is gone. So this was their rule. What? Okay. So, of course, Lisa is like, but my older daughter was told, there's the candy. Have it, don't have it. I'm going to trust you to, not overdo it. I was a single mom at that time, so it was me saying, you have it. No, have it. You're not going to overdo it. And she wouldn't even know it was there, right? Because she could have it. She didn't have it. Or she'd have a piece. That was it. Or she'd have a piece and be like, meh, this isn't really very good. And then throw the rest out. And one Halloween, Lisa had, I don't know how many candies from that bowl. A lot. And poor kid got really sick. And she had it because she knew she was going to have to give all her candy to her parents, who were going to, you know, give her piece by piece, I guess, until next Halloween. My younger daughter then, this is years later, my younger daughter and I are trick-or-treating with her. My husband and I are trick-or-treating with my younger daughter and her friend. And they went they just scored big time. They had king-size pillowcases filled with candy. I think we were in the Malibu colony, and people there were giving out like giant size candy bars, and just it was craziness. So she had this tons of candy, and it's getting a little late, and she says, oh, I'm really hungry. And my husband said, well, honey, you got all that candy. Have some candy. And she says, no, I don't want candy. I want real food. What a moment for me. I was so happy. So all of which, this just shows the psychology of deprivation is what helps you. Oh, and she also had a friend who wasn't allowed to have candy. And that friend also ate so much candy, she got sick. So this really points out both sides of it. When you're deprived and you get a chance to have it, you're going to have way too much and you're going to make yourself sick. When you can have it, you can choose whether you want it or not and say things like, no, I don't want candy. I want real food. Such a proud moment for me. So happy. Okay. And you know what? That can be you too. You can retrain your mind and you can come to a place where you can have that same attitude towards candy, towards sugar, towards whatever, even if it may seem impossible, even if you think you're a sugar addict, even if you think there is no way you can even have anything with sugar in the house, you can change. There is hope. Okay. My fourth tip, living a zombie life. Do you feel like you're the walking dead, doing the same thing day after day? Day after day, not really enjoying your life to the fullest? If so, bring yourself back to life. Bring yourself back to life. Think about one thing that you've been waiting to do one day and make today the day you start working towards that one thing. If you want to run a marathon, go for a walk or a short run. If you want to start dating, go online and check out some dating sites. Bring yourself back to life. I also want to say these tips are something that I wrote originally for Michael Scheinefeld on his blog. And he does all kinds of cool interviews of people in the LA area. And check out Michael Scheinefeld's blog. This was from a few years ago, but he's got lots of things going on every week. So if you want to, really be living life to the fullest, you got to figure out what is fun for you. And so often we get so busy with life's obligations and we go to work and then we got to take care of the kids if we have kids, or we've got to do this or we've got to do that, or we've got to clean the house, we've got to just take care of our day-to-day lives, and we forget to have fun. We forget to have fun, and pretty soon we're zombies, just go to work, come home, make dinner, clean up, watch TV. Rinse, repeat. That was my zombie imitation, really bad. Apparently, I do a bad zombie. I can't be a zombie. No. So the problem with this is that if you are, here is someone else calling. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hey, Dr. Nina. This is Casey.
Casey. Hi, Casey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm listening to you talking about, you guys put time aside to have fun.
Because if you don't, food becomes fun. But what do you think about that?
I was talking to some of the girls last night, and I was just telling them that I feel like I'm just tired now. I feel like I'm having too much fun, you know? I'm not going to counter what you're saying. Because I always believe that you should live in the moment, enjoy yourself. You know, once my son turned 18, and now he's 23 and he's self-sufficient, I think I've went overboard, you know. It's like, you know, for example, last night we went out, and then I decided to buy the whole bar tacos. And I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on here. You know, I wake up, and I lost my wallet. That was another good thing.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
okay. So
I feel like I need to find time to get away from my friends. I posted Monday, God protect me from my friends. I don't know where I saw that quote, but it makes so much sense.
Okay, so you're having maybe it's not too much fun you're having. Maybe you're not having enough time to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because I'm now fantasizing about just like leaving everything and just moving away. And
oh, where are you going to go?
You know, you've told me this. I let people control me too much, and it's like I'm living to make others happy instead of me. I just don't know how I'm going to get out this rut, because every day it's a new thing.
Okay, so here's the thing, is that if you move, you might just repeat the same thing all over again. So it's important to call, what is that called? Geotherapy? Geotherapy. If I move, I'm going to be a different me. I'm of a different life. Except wherever you go, there you are. So I guess it's important to look at what is motivating this this generosity, generosity or giving up you to take care of them? Where did you learn to do that?
I don't know. I thought I got it from my mother because she's like, you know, she's been a, you know, she's a nurse and she's a very giving and caring person. I don't know. I felt like some point in time in life, I might've been a selfish person, which I don't think, I can't remember when, because I've pretty much been like this since. Uh-oh, my job is getting crazy.
Okay.
Doc, I have to go.
Okay. Bye, Casey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, Casey. By the way, Casey can also be heard on The Mentality Show here on LA Talk Radio on Wednesday nights at 6 Pacific. Love Casey. So I guess if he calls back, I'll talk to him more about that. But it's important to have balance. And sometimes, you know, we try to prove that we're not selfish. We try to prove we're not selfish by going overboard and being selfless. So selfless is when you, it's like, oh, I have no needs or wants. I'm just here to take care of you. And I give up me to take care of you. That's selfless. Selfless. That's not good. Selfish is, I don't care about you. It's all about me. Which sometimes when it's either or, people get confused and they think if they ever think about themselves, they're being selfish, and then they go overboard to try to be selfless. So also when you're doing this, then what is the one thing that you can give yourself more of? Food, eating, all of that. So what's the answer? The answer is self-care, which is in different situations, you figure out, you know, what do you need to do? Do you need to take care of yourself in this situation and maybe disappoint someone else? Or do you need to take care, you want to take care of that other person and, you know, it's okay. You can be selfless in that moment. So self-care is when you matter and rather than sometimes, so self-care is when it's about you sometimes and it's about them sometimes. And each situation, you figure out which is which. Selfish is when it's always about you. Selfless is when it's never about you. So if you were listening, Casey, I hope you that resonated with you. You can call back and let me know if that resonates. So if you are living a zombie life, you want to think about what is fun for you, what is enjoyable, what is, instead of always being productive or working or taking care of other people, what's fun for you? What's fun? What is fun? I have to say that I personally was not completely living by this motto as I am preaching. I was not doing the thing that I tell people to do because I was working way too much. And I was like, I think like last year I went out to lunch maybe once because I was working through lunch and I was working all the time and I was writing books and I was doing this and doing that and developing this program and blah, 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 blah. And then I realized my friend told me, you're out of balance. She's like, so we went to lunch. And guess what? Now we go to lunch every week. So I had to come to myself, realize that I was not having enough fun. I was working too much and I had to dial it back and, you know, spend time with my friend. Chill out, not work, and just enjoy life and have lunch. It's been good. So, something to think about. All right, next tip. How are we doing on time? We're good. Be playful. Be playful. Remember the fun of going out with your friends on Halloween? Remember, like, getting dressed up and having your mom or dad, like, do cool face makeup and planning, like, what are you going to be? And asking them, what are you going to be? And it's just so fun. And then you go to the houses and which is the good house and where's the mean lady with the bad candy? And, oh, which house gives you raisins? Raisins! Raisins. So I used to get a lot of raisins when I was a kid. I lived in Marin County, a lot of very granola people there, and apparently they wanted to save us kids from ourselves and give us raisins. Not okay. Not good. Not cool. Boo. 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 Boo on the raisins. But remember how much fun it was to, like, maybe even TP someone's house. I'm not saying I did that. Oh, no. No, I'm not saying that. But I might have seen it done. It's fun to do fun things on Halloween, from the costumes to the ragging on the neighbors to the, hey, that person has full-size Hershey's, to, oh, that costume is so cute, and all of that. And then later you're older and you have parties and it's fun, fun, fun. This holiday is about being with other people, dressing up, and having fun. And this is not something that you should only do on Halloween. I mean, maybe not the dressing up part. Do dressing up on Halloween. But having fun with other people is so important. Being playful. Now, this is a little bit different from living a zombie life, because there are fun things that you can do that are enjoyable that you just do by yourself. Some people love to read, or just something that they just do alone. But being playful is often being playful and having fun and connecting with other people. So important. Because remember, why food? Food represents people in our psyches. We do not think of that consciously. We don't say to ourselves, let me have that toast because it really represents the bonds of a relationship and that's what I need. No, we say, oh, I need some comfort food. And comfort food suggests being comforted. And why? Because our very first experience of relationship and bonding as babies, as infants, is the experience we have of being fed. We're held in our parents' arms, and we're safe and secure, and we've got eyes looking at us and being delighted by us, and we feel so warm and cozy and blissful and good while we're being fed. And so in our psyche, food becomes relationship, and that's why we turn to food on a very primal, primitive level. So that was my last tip for Halloween. So if any of those resonated with you, give me a call. I still have started late, so I still have maybe 12 more minutes of the show. So if you'd like to let me know what is going on with you and Halloween, or just with you in general, number here is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. Okay, so I am going to now talk about I have some 100 ways to make peace with food, which, by the way, you can get this on my website, Dr. Nina Inc. You can go and sign up and for free get my 100 ways to make peace with food. And each one is kind of a graphic with a little bit of a commentary on it. So I'm just going to turn to it and look at, here's one. Don't try to lose weight. Take delight in gaining fitness. Oh, don't try to lose weight. Take delight in gaining fitness. Alan Cohen. I don't know who Alan Cohen is, but I liked it enough to put it in my 100 ways to make peace with food. If losing weight is your only goal, then exercising becomes about achieving a size or a number. And then you're going to stop when you accomplish your goal. Oh, I exercise. The scale says what it says. And then maybe you'll change your ways. And maybe you're over-exercising and under-eating. And you're just being a real slave driver to yourself until you lose weight. That's about size. But gaining fitness means appreciating your newfound strength. Gaining fitness means that you're interested in nourishing your body, taking care of yourself, feeling better in your mind and in your spirit. And that is not a goal. That is a way of life. And so that is something really important to keep in mind. The other day, so I'm training for my friend and I, my best friend and I are going to do the 60-mile Susan G. Komen walk for a cure for breast cancer. And yes, 60 miles. And at first we were just like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? It's impossible. But we've been training and training and training. And the other day we walked. Wait a minute. I'm so all about this today. But we walked 18 miles. 18 miles. We walked 18 miles in one day. Crazy, right? Now, there would have been a time when I would have been like, looking at my Fitbit going, oh my God, 18 miles, 3,000 whatever calories. This is awesome. I mean, they didn't have Fitbits when I was dealing with my like eating disorder stuff, but it, had there been Fitbits back then, that's where I would have been. I would have all been about how many calories did I burn? Was I going to lose weight tomorrow? All of that. No, I didn't even, it didn't even cross my mind. What crossed our minds was, wow, we did 18 miles. We have totally got this. We are going to do this. We're going to do this walk. We're going to do 20 miles every day, and it's going to be amazing. We're raising money for breast cancer research, and we are pushing our limits. And that's a really great feeling. So I encourage you, if you go to the gym, please focus on your fitness, gaining cardio. And by the way, we've been training so much, we did not get sore. No soreness. My husband, David, was saying the next day, like, oh, you must be so sore, like 18 miles. And I jumped out of bed and went, no, I'm not sore at all. I'm a superwoman. Wow. So just kind of take delight in gaining endurance and stamina and fitness, and have that be your goal. Okay, my next tip, stop negative self-talk. If you wouldn't say it to a child or someone you love, don't say it to yourself. Negative self-talk leads to poor self-esteem and depression and just feeling terrible. It doesn't have to be outright depression. You could just feel bad and bad about yourself. So ban that negative self-talk and notice how much better you feel. And then you could take it one step farther and you can start positive self-talk. Is that farther or further? One step further, I think it is. One step further and start positive self-talk. So first you want to ban the negative self-talk, and then you want to build up and cultivate the positive self-talk. You will not believe the difference how you feel when you are being encouraging to yourself. It makes such a huge difference in how you feel. And when you're being kind to yourself, when you're comforting yourself and encouraging yourself and inspiring yourself with words, you don't need food to escape yourself. Here's another one. Girls and boys. Children aren't born hating their bodies. We teach them. We are born loving and enjoying our bodies. And at some point, we learn to hate them. But why? It's time to learn a different way of thinking about your body. Yeah, where did you learn that this part of you is too big or this part of you is too small? Where did you get that idea? Where did you come to believe that you as you are somehow not good enough, or that you need to change your body to be good enough or to be acceptable? Where did that idea come from? It's all a social construct. If you look at some ads from, I think it's the 40s, there are these great ads, and I have them somewhere. I have to post them. And it'll show like this skinny woman like on the beach with no man around her. And she and the ad's like, are you too skinny? Do you want to be voluptuous? Take this Vitamix thing. Not Vitamix. I think that's a real thing. It's some, take this whatever substance. Take this drink. Take this special shake and your life will be improved. And then they show now the same woman is like curvy and voluptuous and she's surrounded by these guys at the beach. So back then in the 40s, being skinny was not considered to be good. It was considered to be ugly and no man was going to pay attention to you. And now it's considered good. I mean, now that is also changing, thank goodness. But if you think that there's a way that you should be to be better, why do you think that? In the Rubens era, very, very voluptuous women who would be considered the F word, because I'm not going to use it, by today's standard, were considered beautiful. So challenge the idea that, you know, how you look right now is not okay. Oh, here's my next quote. Marilyn Monroe said, wanting to be someone else is a waste of the person you are. And by the way, she was considered the sexiest woman in the 50s, I think it was, and maybe wouldn't she die early 60s? She was considered to be the epitome of beautiful and sexy, and to date, she would be considered like plus size or something. Crazy, right? There's only one you. There will never be another you. You are a unique human being with talents, spirit, intelligence, and creativity. That is yours alone. So embrace your unique gifts. Embrace who you are. Appreciate yourself. Again, I cannot stress enough that the key to changing your relationship to food is changing your relationship to yourself. When you feel better about yourself, you don't use food to escape yourself or to comfort yourself or to calm down or to celebrate yourself. When you can be kind to yourself, be supportive when you're down, and celebrate yourself with words when you're feeling good, you don't need food for that purpose. So the way to transform your relationship with food is to transform your relationship to yourself. Here is a quote from Socrates. It is impossible to heal the body without healing the soul. Wow. Wow. It is impossible to heal the body without healing the soul. I kind of forgot about that one, and it really is quite amazing. We often think of ourselves just as bodies, but we are so much more than that. So nourish and nurture your emotional, intellectual, creative, spiritual, all parts of you. Nourish and nurture them, not just your physical self. Stop dieting. Every weight loss program, no matter how positively it's packaged, whispers to you that you're not right. You're not good enough. You're unacceptable and you need to be fixed. Stop dieting. Stop dieting. Stop dieting. Stop dieting. That is why my first chapter of my book, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating, is called Ditch Dieting. Ditch dieting. Stop dieting. There is nothing wrong with you. If you want to lose weight, dieting is just about the worst way to do it. Dieting disconnects you from your body's intuition. Choose to nourish and nurture yourself and privilege health over deprivation. Figure out what's eating at you. Why are you turning to food? Not focus on what you are actually eating. So, so, so important. I've talked about my daughters today, and here's something in my 100 Ways to Make Peace with Food, where I say when people meet my daughters, they often say, oh, they're so beautiful. Oh, they're so beautiful. And I tell my girls that beauty is nice. Beauty is nice, let's face it. But beauty is an accident of birth. It is not an achievement, and it does not define you. What is best, what is most important, is to be a smart, kind, and loving person. That is true beauty. Beauty is only skin deep, right? Some people are physically beautiful, but they lack soul, and they stop looking so good. I have to say, I once dated a guy who was like Greek god handsome, which blinded me, I will say, to some of his other qualities I didn't want to see. But when I saw them, yeah, he started looking much less Greek godlike, I will say. Others may not be classically beautiful or handsome, but they have beautiful souls, and they start looking much more attractive to us. True beauty is in the soul, not the face. Okay, last one. Finding fault with your thighs or complaining about your stomach never leads to self-confidence. Focusing on qualities you like about yourself is the only thing that will make you feel good. You can't feel better by tearing yourself down. It's just not going to happen. No one has ever said to themselves, oh my God, I look awful. Oh, I need to lose this. I need to get rid of that. I need to change that. My hair, my eyes, my body, my this, my that. No one has ever said that to themselves and then thought, oh, I really feel so much better. No, no. Judging, criticizing, and disparaging your body is not the path to self-esteem and well-being. Those thoughts make you feel terrible. And when you feel bad, when you feel terrible, you are more likely to use food for comfort and escape. Treating yourself nicely is the key to feeling good. It's when you feel good, you don't need food to feel good. And that's how that works. So that is my show for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I also want to say that I am on a mission. I am on a mission to help 5 more people who want to lose weight and lose the obsession with food without dieting. I currently have an amazing online group, a very small individualized group. It's called the Inner Circle Group. And I want to do another group. So I'm looking for 5 more people who want to lose weight and lose the obsession with food without ever dieting. And if that is you, I want you. Oh, and you could do it in 3 months. It's a 3-month program. It will transform your life. If that is you, then I would like you to apply. Just shoot me an email or send me a message in Facebook or Instagram and say, hey, I want more information. And I'm going to have someone from my team reach out to you. So help me make my mission. Transform 5 people's lives. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me here today and the day before Halloween. Have a happy Halloween. I will see you next week here on LA Talk Radio, 10 a.m. Pacific, or you can, so we can listen live, or you can listen later at Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts. And if you want to get the 100 ways to make peace with food delivered into your inbox, just go to my website, Dr. Nina Inc., and you can sign up. Thanks. Have a great week. See you soon.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.